God bless you, saints. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Yeah. I hope you come expecting a day. I did. Yeah. And as we're continuing on our little study of Hebrews 13, 7 and 8, remember them which have the rule over you. Just get my slide shared here. And I sure appreciate all the prayers this week. I just had a little surgery this week to get some things fixed up. So thank the Lord, all is well, and I appreciate all the phone calls and texts and everything. It's good to know you're loved, so appreciate you very much. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord God, for the ability to come and gather around your word this morning, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, as we invite you into the house, Lord, that you'll be with us today. Give us liberty and understanding, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you'll help us, Lord Jesus, to receive, to have the right spirit and the right attitude to receive what you have in store for us today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with us this morning as we just study through these scriptures. Be with Brother Tim as he's preparing his heart, Lord, to deliver his message to us today, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll be with us and bless your word, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So verse 7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And I really just kind of wanted to meditate more on, God has given us good leadership. But then on the flip side of that, you begin to study the seals and so forth and look at the history of the church down through the seven church ages. And there's that Nicolaitan spirit that rose up that had tried to take a different kind of rule. So I think it's just kind of helpful to study that out and see that God wants us to have liberty in worship, liberty in understanding. And that's really what that Nicolaitan spirit was, would that Antichrist spirit that began down in the very first church age tried to take away from the people. And of course, you study that out and you can see that it runs all the way over today, where you can see that same spirit tries to influence things. There's spirits that, you know, move in the church and try to influence. I mean, you look at how Jezebel, that Jezebel spirit, if you follow it all the way through, the Jezebel spirit would try to control the way that Elijah brought his message and control Ahab. And it's all about control many times. So you look at, let's look at this first little slide that we were reading last time, where Brother Branham said, it is the word that rules us, not men. Now, that really puts into perspective what Paul was trying to say when he said, remember them which have the rule over you. There's leaders that God puts in the church to convey the word, to preach the word, and then that word grabs a hold of your life and begins to shape the way that you think and the way that you do. And the word grabs a hold of you and you start dressing differently. You start believing different, and before you know it, you're going down to be baptized different way maybe than that way that denomination taught you. Why? Because the word began to rule over you, not a man, but a word. And Brother Bram will say, now a man is a husband, is head of the woman. He rules her, but the church is a woman too, and her ruler is the word. Jesus is the word. If she rejects the word and takes any other headship, she is an adulteress. And in the Ephesian church age, I've got a lot of quotes to read, so we're just going to kind of go through some of these quotes this morning and just meditate on the things that Brother Bram said about that Nicolaitan spirit. He said, what the church had at Pentecost is her inalienable right. Originally, she had the pure word of God. She had the power of the Spirit manifested in divers signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost. And then he keeps going on. He said that original church was not organized by men. It was led by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't very big. It was hated and despised. It was oppressed. It was persecuted unto death. But it was true to God. It stayed with the original word pattern. Now, see, there you can see that to be led by the Holy Ghost, the word's got to come first. Because what is the word? The word is like the purpose of the word is to loose the Holy Ghost in your life. The true interpretation of the word, when it's preached, it causes a channel to be opened up to you so that the Holy Ghost can be able to work. So now, in the early church, if men's ideas were preached, then that kind of binds things up where the Holy Ghost can't have liberty. But if the true interpretation of the word is preached, The true revelation. Oh, you see, like, for example, somebody come to church and the devil's been telling all these lies about how you can't be saved or something. Then the preacher starts preaching the true interpretation that it's possible, that it's for you. And then something begins to open up, a channel begins to open up where they begin to believe and something begins to happen. And there you've got the true liberty of the Holy Ghost, the true liberty of worship. Something strikes in a believer's heart and they see something that God wanted them to see, and they just begin to, something happens. They begin to rejoice, maybe, or maybe they don't begin to rejoice, because you get liberty is what we're talking about. Maybe they just sit there in the quiet and something begins to stir in their heart, and they go home and they want something's awakened within them. They want a closer walk with God. So you see, we're talking about liberty, and that's what that Nicolaitan spirit would try to take away, where the Holy Ghost can't have liberty in a church or in your people's life or in your life. That's what we want. Just like in the very first church age, for the Holy Ghost to have liberty. And I got these two contrasting views. On the one hand, you got the Holy Ghost having free reign in the church to be able to do as he wants to do. And that's really what we want. We want the Holy Ghost to be able to do what he wants to do. At the end of the service, maybe everybody's ready to go get something to eat, but the Holy Ghost wants to do something, so we'll linger. We'll let the Holy Ghost do what he wants to do in somebody's life. And how's he going to do it? When the true gospel is preached to open up somebody, that channel, then the Holy Ghost can do what he wants to do. Now, on the other side, we've got this picture of the stained glass windows. Everybody's all dressed in their finery with their little flowers on their tuxedos and things. And it looks real religious, but the Holy Ghost can't do what the Holy Ghost wants to do. He can't move. Why? Because they've cabbaged down on that Nicolaitan idea, where they've got a bunch of men telling you what their thoughts are and their ideas about how things should be run, and it just restricts the Holy Ghost from being able to do something. Right. You know, they're being baptized in the name of three different people and don't have a true understanding of the Godhead, don't have a true understanding of all these core doctrines that we believe, and it just prevents the Holy Ghost from being able to be loosed into people's lives. So what's Nicolaitanism? In the Message Investments, Brother Branham said, I read in the Bible that God told John on the Isle of Patmos that the deeds of the Nicolaitans he hated. Nicao, conquer laity, to conquer the laity, and put all the holiness in some certain men. Mm-hmm. Now, look how he kind of breaks down Nicolaitanism. The way it should work is holiness is to all, everybody, should be able to experience a moving of the Holy Ghost in their life. Not just a select group of people, not like a priest or a post up in the front, you know, or just grabbing it all in themselves and saying, you got to listen to me. He said the Holy Spirit fell upon the whole group. There's no holy man anyhow. It's a holy God. We don't say holy church, holy people. It's holy God. We're not holy, but he is holy. Amen. Not a holy minister. It's the Holy Spirit. He ministers through the minister. It's not holy men. We're none of us holy. But they seemingly too many times are turning down the same opportunity. I love this quote from Why Christ Speak. Now, before I read this, let me just set the stage where Brother Bram's talking about Moses going down to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Pharaoh says, well, I'll tell you what, as long as the elders can go, like the ministers, the bishops, the pope, what, you know, the leaders, well, you can go out and worship, but whatever you do, don't let the people get it. Now, there's that Nicolaitan spirit rising up. Whatever you do, don't let the people get a real baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't let the Holy Ghost get to working in the people. And because the devil does not want the people sitting out there in the congregation to get a revelation of who they are and what this Bible is telling them about. So Brother Ram said, let's read it. He said, but you know, the faith that Moses had didn't believe in a so far religion. He said, we're going all the way. That's right. We're going to the promised land. We just don't go out here and make a denomination and stop. We go on through. Amen. I'm going on to the promised land God promised us. How many pharaohs have we got today standing in the pulpit, heads of organizations? Now, if you just do that, just do this and do that, that's all. Well, see, just so far. But Moses said, oh, no, 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 no. See, Pharaoh said, well, why not? If you're going to have that kind of religion, I'll tell you what you do. Just you and the elders go worship, see. Just you and the elders go worship, because you all can have that kind of religion, but don't get it among the people. Now, you really meditate on that, maybe sitting at home late tonight. God wants you to catch the revelation. This is not something for just a person behind the pulpit to have an understanding of the seals and the deep things, but God wants everybody. That's why he said, we're all going. That's what Moses' commission was. We're all going. Nobody left behind. And that other story and from 1 Samuel, where all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and they told Samuel, give us a king. Give us a man to lead us, a leader. And they had God leading them, but instead they wanted a man to lead over them. All the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And back to the Ephesian church age, Brother Ram said, see what was happening back there. That false vine was getting a hold, and it was teaching that rulership by man was right. It taught that the church had to be governed. It taught a control over the people. But instead of doing it God's way, they simply took authority and vested all the spiritual power in their own hands and came out with a holy priesthood standing between God and the people. They went right back to the old Aaronic system. They became Antichrist, for they disposed of his mediatorship and imposed their own. God hated that. The Ephesians hated that, and any true believer will hate it too. Now, you see why God would hate it. He wants to do something in your life, and that Nicolaitan idea would prevent that. Another quote from the Ephesian church age, he said, we would have to be stone blind not to see that same thing at work all through the ages. And right now, it is the worst of all. What it was organization that separated the people. God's people are supposed to be one. By one spirit are they all baptized into one body, and everyone is to be moved upon by the Holy Ghost, and everyone is to participate in the worship of God. Now, you see how whenever he's breaking down what Nicolaitanism is, he's talking about liberty and worship and the Holy Ghost moving in your life, because that's what that Nicolaitan attitude wants to prevent. But men wanted the preeminence, so they took over control, and bishops became archbishops. And with imposing titles, they bypassed the word of God and taught their own doctrines. They got the people to obey them until the time came that their way of worship did not in any way at all resemble the early days after Pentecost. These deeds were the beginning of apostolic succession. You see, we really break that. What's apostolic succession? That I can't preach unless I had been ordained or put, kind of put in this position by someone who you could trace all the way back to the very early church. And instead of just having the liberty of God to be able to say, to call somebody, like a little David or whatever, to call somebody to preach. So apostolic succession is limiting the moving of the Holy Ghost to just call somebody and put them in a place where they can preach. We're talking about liberty, the liberty of the Holy Ghost. From the whole apostolic succession, it was one easy and quick step to church membership as the means of saving grace. The word was reduced to a creed. Antichrist, by his spirit, was predominating the church. In the Smyrnian church age, Brother Ram said, now on the second chapter in the 8th verse, we begin tonight. Now, what did we leave him on last night? He was certainly hated that Nicolaitan. Now, what does God do? What we have to have found out first, the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he is. Now, the next great thing, we find out that he hates anything that'll put anything to rule over his church besides himself. He is a jealous God. How I'd like to stop, because we got 4 verses here just to quote a little something. How many can remember when the good prophet Samuel, when all of Israel wanted to act like the rest of the world? Do you remember that? And the prophet told them, said, you're wrong, but they wanted to act like the Philistines and like the rest of them. Well, that's exactly what happened in this very first church age. It's strange that people don't want God to lead them. They want to follow. They want some man. Now, you think about that, that God wants you to have a personal relationship with him where, you know, you got that promise. The Spirit of truth will lead and guide you into all truth. That God wants to grab a hold of your life and do the leading. And questions and answers, he said, you know, we sometimes think because we're preachers, not you and I, don't say brother, but preachers think because they're preachers that there's somebody bigger than one of the lay members of the church. You're no bigger and you're no more in the sight of God than that drunkard that was converted an hour ago. Now that puts things into perspective, doesn't it? So what I got all these little quotes that I compiled on this slide that just pulled from different places in the message. Let's just read through them. Nicolaitan means to conquer the laity. To take away that movement of the Holy Spirit on the laity and just put it on the church leadership, like they did that eventually turned into Roman Catholicism, denomination. It's organization, where instead of following the leading of the Holy Ghost, you're following what some group of people say. It is terrible. Now, Brother Brown said, now, why is this such a terrible thing? It is terrible because God has never placed his church in the hands of an elected leadership which moves with political mindedness. He has placed his church in the care of God-ordained, spirit-filled, word-living men who lead the people through feeding them the word. Now, that goes back to what Paul's saying, that we're led by the word. He has not separated the people into classes so that the masses are led by a holy priesthood. It is true that the leadership must be holy, but then so must be the whole congregation. Further, there is no place in the word where priests or ministers or such mediate between God and the people, nor is there a place where they are separated in their worship of the Lord. God wants all to love and serve him together. Nicolaitanism destroys those precepts and instead separates the ministers from the people and makes the leaders overlords instead of servants. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, feed the flock of God. Feed by the word. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And I got a little footnote down there that lords mean is the Greek word translated as lords means overbearing or controlling. Because the word, the Holy Ghost, is the one that we want to have control. Now, Brother Brown said in Pergamene Church Age, he said, now this Nicolaitan doctrine, this rule that was established in the church, did not hit it off too well with a lot of the people, for they could read the odd epistle or essay on the word written by some godly person. So what did the church do? It excommunicated the righteous teachers and burned the scrolls. They said it takes a special education to read and understand the word. Why, even Peter said that many things Paul wrote were hard to understand. Having taken away the word from the people, it soon came to the people listening only to what the priest had to say and doing what he told them. They called that God and his holy word. They took over their minds, the minds and lives of the people, and made them the servants of a despotic priesthood. What's Nicolaitanism? Following a man's ideas rather than Christ. Like you can pay for your loved one to get out of purgatory. That's not in the Bible anywhere. That's just some man's idea. But it's a great way to make some money. A substitute for a personal relationship with God and the leading of the Holy Ghost. You substitute the leading of a man for the leading of the Holy Spirit. You're basically swapping it out. Nicolaitanism is that formal dead religion. It's trying to take the church where God had pastors and the Spirit of God moving by gifts in the church of the living God, and they were having a doctrine start that they were going to have some priests and bishops and popes. And he said, all right, overthrow or conquer or take place of the laity. In other words, take all the sacredness, all the power from the church and put it over on the priests. Let the congregation live the way it wants to, but the priest is the holy one. Taking the Holy Ghost away from the people. And that goes back to that story in Why Christ Speak. Whatever you do, don't let the people have a real experience with God. Don't let the people catch a revelation. Taking the Holy Ghost away from the people with signs and wonders following them, and take that away and give them a holy priesthood. Taking away the Holy Ghost and swapping it for a priesthood, Brother Branham said in another place. He said, the Nicolaitans bringing in a bunch of men to twist up the scripture and make a denomination that can't let God move in it. In another place, he said, not one time can I ever glean one thing. Of all the bishops of the Nicolaitan church that formed the hierarchy of Rome, the Pope, not one time in history have we a record of any of those bishops ever raising the dead or anything like that, because Christ, the resurrection, wasn't in their hearts. Right. Oh, you see, with that Nicolaitan spirit, it's against the Holy Ghost being able to do what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Right. Liberty and worship and truth. Another place he said, now the word Pergamos means married. The very word Pergamos means married. Christianity, that is the Nicolaitan side, the formal side, married to the state, with pagan ceremonies. And it was the birth of the Catholic Church in that day. Now, anyone knows that the Catholic Church was brought into existence at the Nicene Council. Before there, it was called a Nicolaitan by God, which means to conquer, overthrow, overcome, or overthrow the laity. And when they did that, they didn't want the Spirit amongst the people. That's that Nicolaitan spirit. Didn't want the Spirit amongst the people. Brother Ram said, and be not afraid, it is I. He said, I am not one of the believers in the Nicolaitan, taking all, conquer the laity and put it all on the pastor. It's in the laity. The Holy Spirit just doesn't baptize the pastor. It baptizes the laity too. It's all in the laity. The pastor is just one of us. It means the shepherd, pastor, which means the feeder of the flock. The Holy Spirit gives overseer to watch it and control it. And he's not saying we don't need a pastor. He's saying he wants the whole same Holy Ghost that's up here behind the pulpit, go moving through the whole congregation and the lives of each and every individual. That's what God wants, and that's what that Nicolaitan spirit tries to prevent. He said in the Pergamene church age, can't you see the Nicolaitans, the hybrids, see it? Don't you see the true spiritual? What was the difference of them? One had signs following. The other one had the form. The other one had signs following. Think about that. That's what God wants to happen. He wants to be able to do something in your life. He wants good things to happen in your life. When you need healing, when you need a touch from God, when you need something happening at your workplace, just trust in God and let that Holy Ghost go to work. He said that's the same thing that's taking place here, the Nicene Council, Nicolaitans, formal Christianity. And the Holy Spirit comes back and said, you've got the doctrine of Balaam among you. See, I hate them doctrines, these are the Nicolaitans, them doctrines that they got, because it's the doctrine of Balaam who taught the children of Israel to stumble. And I'll just read this last slide and then we'll close. We'll end the lesson. He said, you hybrid it with the world, with the Nicolaitan idea, not let the Holy Ghost have its way. That's the Nicolaitan idea, to not let the Holy Ghost have its way. The word Niko, the Greek word Niko, means to overcome or conquer. Overcome what? The laity, the Holy Spirit. Take out of the church the resurrected Lord Jesus with signs and wonders among the believers, and put men voted in to be a pope or a cardinal or an overseer trying to take the place, to take the Holy Ghost away from the laity, and give it to an order called the Holy Order of Men. You say, why can't the priest be a shepherd? What kind of a food is he feeding you? Do you get the same results they had the day of Pentecost? And he said, now you just can't have a Nicolaitan set up in the church and not have this other doctrine, Balaamism, come in too. You see, if you take away the word of God and the moving of the Spirit as a means of worship, then you will have to give the people another form of worship as a substitute. And substitution spells Balaamism. So what's God wanting to do? He wants to have his way with you. Let's let him have his way with us today during this service. Just if you haven't yet, give him your heart. Give him everything you are so that the Holy Ghost can have its way and do what he wants to do with you. God bless you, saints.